be mindful. You have
Love
to be
Talk Radio.
When you're doing deliverance and a part of a deliverance ministry.
One thing that both Pastor Carolyn and Pastor Burrell stated is to be a part of a deliverance team. And deliverance team takes everyone. How many of you have been a part of a deliverance ministry before?
So here, the spirit come out of the
Do you share your experience of being part of a deliverance ministry before?
Jemiah came once. You have to be very sincere and friend or honest. When you see people moving around, the accent is weak because distraction is very sensitive, very sensitive. And he was always taught that your feet should be kept in the house of God. Therefore, there should be no moving around at all, no distraction. And we ushers and prayer warriors, we had to stand God around our leaders and individual who's getting it. And I mean, we had to stand and to see God and be prepared. Very, very prepared. Very prepared.
Do you share your experience with being part of deliverance ministry? Being part of deliverance ministry previously?
I did a prayer for myself. I think they were trying to cast demons off the spirit of it when I first stated, you know. We just had to keep on pleading the blood and praying. It's scary, but I won't scare it, but you know, you have to pray. You have to pray. It's all plead the blood, but like everybody was around the prayer and you just can see the demons attacking her body. They could fight the spirit. And it's not to play with. And especially you got children. We had to take all the children to the back. So they didn't have to play. Because one time, they were delivering a sister and a demon had jumped on one of the guys to love him. He had to pray for him. He had to know. So it's a serious job.
Amen. And anyone else in the audience who wants to say this desire to be a part of deliverance ministry? So, as we talk about deliverance, we're talking about being set free. As we're talking about being set free, we're talking about not only being set free from demonic spirits and warfare, but also being set free from yourself. In order to receive, to walk in the, to receive the prophetic, you really got to be free. So, Apostle was about to go into dialogue about being a part of the deliverance team. So, let's talk about being a part of a deliverance team. Yeah.
Want me to go ahead?
Praise God. Being a part of the deliverance team, a delivery team, is more than just showing up with deliverance stages, like, or running to an individual or things of that nature. Everybody in and on a deliverance team should operate in one of the Bible ministries. And I know it's running through your head, but I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor, but you are a teacher, and you teach by the example that you lead, live, or lead. So we all should be able to teach and operate in the bank, we need altar workers who dress for altar work. Amen. And I'm not going off on anybody, but if you're working the altar, then an altar worker should have to stand behind you to come to you. Amen. So if you're dressed and you know you're serving that day, then you need to dress appropriately because you don't know what's going to pop off. Number one. The other thing is the altar worker's got to pray. You know, if you are an altar worker and you're not a prayer warrior or you're not a prayer, then you might want to check your position as an altar worker. Are you that gate that the Spirit either can come past you to attack someone else in the congregation or come past you to attack either someone who is in the process of doing the delivery, or in the process of laying on hands, in the process of speaking a prophetic word, in the process of speaking to that demonic force, because we know that the person is not what or who we're speaking to. So, are you prayed up? Praying up doesn't mean when you get to church and get your lap cloth and sit down and, oh my God, pray. You need to be prayed up as an altar worker, as a greeter, as an usher before you get here. Okay, because you're the one who stands in God. You're the one who prevents the children from being attacked. Because if you're prayed up and in the right position, that spirit is not going to penetrate. Again, we're going to go back to the earlier Bible study, the wall that has been built. Okay? We need the prophetic on the team because a prophetic voice as well as the prophetic fear, because a lot of times the someone, I'll use myself as an example, when I'm in deliverance, I get nose to nose, ear to ear with the demonic force. That's my call. That's what God called and set me apart to do. So therefore, if I'm nose to nose, ear, mouth to ear, I can't see what's going on behind me. I cannot see what's going on to my left, my right, or even behind the person that's going through the deliverance. So therefore, we need prophetic eyes that can see who and what is going on in the surrounding area to inform the person who's doing delivery or delivering. Okay? So a lot of times you need that prophetic eye, not a nosy person, not a person who looks at the person, but a person who has a prophetic eye that can see what's going on in the spirit. Okay? You also need the pastor or that pastoral spirit there, because it's more than likely it is one of or someone that pastor knows that's being delivered. So to be able to operate properly and in order and not out of order, you need that pastoral representation there to let the spirit know that the person who is operating in delivery have my authority to do so. If that pastor in the middle of delivery says, we're going to stop it, that person who's leading the delivery must stop. If at any time they continue, they're out of the will of God. They're not the pastor of that house. They're not the seer in that house. They're not the leader in that house. So it has to cease at that moment, okay? Because all you're doing is fighting against yourself. You also need the prophetic eye so that you know whether or not the person is resistant to delivery. I don't care how much they act up. I don't care how much they run around the church. I don't care what you see. If the person does not want to be delivered, they ain't going to get delivered.
Put it right there on that
session. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Crossing over. So, to be a part of a team in a deliverance ministry, you need to be able to communicate with one another. If anybody on your team you got a problem with, then you don't get to be there. Okay. If you got off with somebody on the delivery team,
now let's reiterate that.
If you have a problem or off, you don't
sit down. That's right.
The person you got a problem with.
Exactly.
That's why I want to make sure that we're clear. If you have a problem, an off, an issue with anybody on the praise team, on the delivery team or praise team, you don't need to be there. Okay? If the whole time you're standing there thinking in your mind, the why in the word so and so up here, they did this, they did that, you need to sit down. Okay, I don't know any other way to make it any clearer. But you don't need to be on the deliverance thing. If you're sick, if you got issues of any type, you don't need to be on the deliverance thing. You're not strong enough to fight any type. Can we take any intercessory prayer? You can't pray for me if I'm sick and you're sick. You know, 0 + 0 = 0. So therefore, we got two people who sick and nobody gets it delivered, so God can't get it to glory. All right, so you need all of this together in order to make an effective deliverance team. And without it, you can't have the effectiveness that you need. And the common denominator in all of that is being properly trained. And I'm going to put a pin there because I know Bishop is probably going to go back to that.
My office says when deliverance is getting ready to take place, there's always someone in the lead. And you have to know who the lead is. And you have to watch and wait for that person to give you direction because you can't have five leaders at the same time. There's always going to be one person that's going to be the lead person in delivery. And that person is the person that you watch and keep your eyes on that eye. It is so important to understand. Sometimes we have family members that come up for deliverance. Be very careful not to be putting your hands on them when deliverance is taking place because there becomes a transfer and it becomes familiar. So when the person is prophetically speaking, they could be getting wires crossed and picking up something that you might have that person might not have. So we have to be careful of putting, I know that we get emotional and everything, but deliverance is not the place for emotions. It is a place where strict business, strict stuff, it has to be ordered and it has to move according to the will of God. Many times the enemy will make you think that everything is okay, but that's what the purpose of that seer is for, is that it's not gone. Because they hide. Spirits hide. They hide all over your body. Sometimes you think that it does, but if a seer is there, they can detect that spirit is hiding. And so either the person that's leading can cause that spirit to speak because we can command it and demand for it to identify itself. But if you got a whole lot of other stuff going on, it'll hide. It'll become familiar. It'll look like something else. And so it's very important to know who the lead is. Don't everybody be running up putting your hands on. You don't need a whole lot of hollering screams because that creates confusion. It needs to be low-key. It needs to be on target because whoever the pastor is, that's the main target. When the deliverance is taking place, the pastor becomes the main target. Okay, because he is the head. She is the head. Whoever the head is, that spirit looks to come against that leader. Okay, never forget the main thing that the enemy wants to do is destroy the head. No matter what's going on, no matter who it is, always make sure you keep eye contact, checking, make sure that they're okay, that nothing's happening, because strange things can happen. And let me tell you, a whole lot of stuff can happen in the floor. A lot of people think there's a whole lot of liver. If you can't see, that's why you hear her say he has eye-to-eye contact. You have to be able to look, because 99.9% of the time, if you're dealing with a spirit, it'll put its head down. It'll try to act like it's sleeping. It'll try to fall out. It'll try to act like it's, you know, it's okay. And all you have to do is watch the eye movement. Once you become trained enough, you'll know. It won't get past you. You'll know exactly what's happening.
Amen.
I just wanted to add that a lot of what we talked about so far is actually involved in deliverance. But even prior to that, even as a congregation, as a body, we are prepared for deliverance because we've come in with the right attitude. We've come in with the right motive. We've come in to be on one accord. We've come in and we've checked ourselves at the door before we left our home. And I think Sister Branch said earlier, you know, it's our lifestyle. And so when we come in, we recognize not only is this the church, but it is also the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of come in with that mindset and understand that the atmosphere needs to be sterile. It needs to be clean so that we check ourselves and we don't contaminate it. Because life happens. The pastor has the ministry and preaching on that, and life happens. And so you have to be able to be man and woman enough to say, today is not a day for me to be involved in this. And that's okay. That's okay. You would save more energy, effort, work if you would say, I'm not in a good place, or I'm not going to participate in that today. Ahead of time, that's fine. That's fine. So, you know, we have to be more conscious of what we're doing, even when we're coming in. You know, a lot of us, we go to work, and we already thinking about our work day before we get to work. We know whether we have an appointment. We know whether we need to go somewhere. We know whether or not the day is the fifth, and that report is due. So if we start thinking that way, even when it comes to the house of the Lord, then it starts to become an easier job as far as making sure that the atmosphere is right. That's why we're encouraging people to praise and worship together, to be on one accord, because we have to move together, and it makes a big difference. If there's resistance, even in praise and worship, that makes deliverance hard. If there's resistance in giving, it makes deliverance hard. So it needs to be a flow throughout the service, throughout, because it can happen in any place. We don't know when the labor pains, you know, that's just like in the delivery room. You don't know when that water is going to break. But whenever, we're ready. And so the scripture that definitely stuck out to me and was thinking about it was, putting on the whole armor of God. Because you don't go to work. If you're required to wear scrubs at work, you don't show up in jeans and a T-shirt. You got to put on your scrubs. So if we learn to put on the whole armor of God coming into the house and understanding that we are the guard, everyone is responsible. And so when you realize that you're a guard and you're responsible for what takes place in, then you come in with the right attitude. You come in ready to do that work. You come in ready to accomplish that task. And you're going to say, not on my watch. You know, you're going to say things are not going to go wrong, but someone's going to get delivered. Someone's going to become saved. Someone's going to get healed under my watch. And so we have to think about it like that. And think very differently. So that's why it's important, even as for believers, that we do have our own personal time, our own private time, and come to Bible study, and come to other fellowships, because that's how you grow and that's how you build yourself up. Because you can't come in with a bunch of issues and expect to be built up, but it's a deliverance house. It's a deliverance ministry. So you've got to be able to take care of that. And even if that means you've got to pull your brother and your sister and say, hey, I really need you to pray for me. I really need you to touch and agree with me. I need you, you know, you need to be able to confess to someone whatever it is that's going on, because deliverance is one part, but you got to get to the point of delivering. Amen. So we got to, you got to start it. You don't need to come on tag.
Oh, I was going to say that deliverance. Oh, I was just saying that deliverance is a process also. I mean, even though you are getting set free and there's available space there, the enemy will come back to check to see what has just happened. You know, you were saying he knows how to hide. He can go away, but your deliverance is a daily thing. We have to submit ourselves unto God. Resist the devil, he will flee. But he will come back. But that's the part where you were saying you stand on the whole armor.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to help us out. Once you're delivered, there is another step. There's more intense training that you have to do once you are in a deliverance atmosphere. And like you said, come to life, let's start learning, start reading about what is happening to you. Because sometimes not knowing about deliverance, we get confused. Now, God can, with deliverance and even healing, some of those kind of separate things, the deliverance coming out of the Israelites, they came out, they were set free, but their lives were still in Egypt.
Yeah.
And that was the process they had to go through to walk this thing out. So I need deliverance. It's a process. It's a daily thing. Alcoholics, they deliver from alcohol, but they still have to stay away from people who drink.
Okay.
They have to stand by the ABC store, and it's still going to be a process. It's a daily thing. So just so we're saying, don't think that it cannot happen and the enemy cannot come back around.
Right. I want to go back to where Apostle started when you're talking about building a team. And we talked about how if you come in and you've got an ought against someone else, then you take the initiative and you be the smart one and you excuse yourself. But even though you may not have an ought against someone else, you got to make sure you don't have an ought against yourself. Because often when you get in a house of deliverance and God is moving in the midst, that's when the enemy will remind you how you going to act like you delivered. Girl, you know what you did last night, and now you going to act like you holy and you saved and you delivered. Check yourself. And so that's why when the word says you have to have the mind of Christ, that's when you have to operate it. And Lady Sheena said it. When you come into the atmosphere, you come in such a way that you're shedding any and everything you can before you get here so that when you're here, your mind can be fixed on Jesus and fixed on the fact that he's done this work in me, and now because he's done it, I'm able to do greater works than he did. And so when you come in, you have to be mindful that when he's trying to show up and say, as soon as you hear the first, because you know what it is, shut it down. Because if you don't, then he'll just keep speaking. And why, Booby, you sitting here going, and then other stuff starts rising up, and then you all sunk down, and then you done got an attitude because somebody else getting set free, and you done bound yourself up. So when you're a part of a ministry that's about deliverance, and that's what this house is, you got to always come in with a renewed mind and a renewed spirit so that you can be prepared to do the work. And another thing that we have to be careful with being a part of the team, once you get there and you're going through the training, don't do any secondhand work. Be careful with that. Because often people will come for prayer, and they will get a word, and someone will speak, and they'll get released. And then they go and sit down, and you feel compelled. And you feel compelled. And you go to them, and you say, leave it alone. Unless the Lord then instructed you, and a leader has instructed you to go behind somebody who's done a work, leave it alone. Because the enemy can use you. They got free and you a carrier. And you go right back and be like, hey. And so their head's spinning again when they just got free. So be mindful of those things. Don't be hasty to move because you got compassion for people. This is not the time for compassion. Amen?
Praise God. I just wanted to go along with piggyback on what Regina said. And I believe Pastor Carol mentioned it earlier. Deliverance is not a show. Okay. Sometimes we can use praise to worship, but when we get to praise to worship, people don't praise. They listen to how well people sing. And they miss the whole focus and purpose of the praise and worship team. Well, deliverance is the same thing. When you get in the midst of deliverance, and especially if it's something that you have not seen before, it becomes a spectator's place where you sit and you watch instead of watch and pray. Deliverance is a process, but it's a process that can be an instantaneous process or a long-term process. I choose to believe the instantaneous one for the simple reason that's what my example through Christ Jesus was. But I do also understand that it is a process when you deal with folks who have not surrendered, you will, in a lifetime, in a particular issue, and they continue to open the door that other issue then. So there is a process when every one of those issues has to be identified. Spirit speaks to you.
Well, you better know it.
Okay. And a spirit will identify themselves. Jesus even used the example in the Word. When he told the legions that he was speaking to legions, he called them by name, legion. Okay, so we know that spirits have names, but I want you to be mindful. This is the most important tool that you have in deliverance is listening. And it's listening with the spiritual ear, so when they talk, you can identify who they are. Okay? And once you identify who they are, then you can deal with them. The moment you can't identify them, all you're doing is dancing around Muhammad and George Foreman in the ring and nobody hits each other. But what we need to do is understand that now. Also, Sister Regina touched on something else that's very important. She said that a demon will return. Okay, and I have to agree. They will return, but they don't return alone.
No, they don't.
The Bible says they come back seven times
more.
So they would have got their uncles, their aunts, their cousins, and everybody else, their best friend that stands on the corner with them, and act the way they are to bring all those spirits back. And if you don't seal the door and replace in that place that spirit is delivered out of, then there is a vacancy in the hotel. Means the whole spot. Okay? So whenever an eviction notice comes, the first thing the landlord tries to do
is put
a lock on the door so that nobody can walk in. Or fill that vacancy with something.
That's right.
In the case of deliverance, you always seal and you always fill. So what do you fill with? Holy Ghost, love, joy, peace, a comforter, which is Christ Jesus. Never leave a person vacant. Where another spirit and seven more of his brothers, sisters, or whatever come in and take up residence. Because you can rest assured you're going to have to go through that process again, and now you got to deal with seven more strong. Okay, so always keep that in mind when deliverance takes place. That comes through training.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's no worry, no need to be afraid when you are trained and taught and stay prayed up. Okay?
Let me say this.
Is everyone called to operate and flow and deliver?
No.
No. You may be an altar worker or a catcher, But that does not mean that you're called to operate as deliverance. Deliverance is a different, you know, word.
Realm.
So don't think because you're at the altar catching that you're supposed to be operating in deliverance or with the deliverance team. So is everyone a part of the deliverance team? No. There might be occasions where, you know, where there's a deliverance going on and we might ask you to stand back or to go back because we understand what's going on. So don't have your emotions on your shoulder and become offended, but we see what you don't see. And we know what you don't know. Now, is everyone, should, you know, and how people go, you don't want to open doors, portals, a gate that you are not called to open.
Right. And you might want to elaborate on that.
You know, so be careful of what you're reading. Be careful of what you're trying to teach. Be careful what you're trying to entertain. Be careful of the conversations you're trying to hold. Because you're setting yourself up for invitation.
Yeah.
Or for a release or a visitation.
A
that's
visitation,
the word.
That's it.
You're saying it's something for a visitation that you're not ready for, and you don't even know what the realm of it has to deal with. So in every, you know, we're all just called to be doorkeepers as far as intercessors. Everybody can be an intercessor. Now, deliverance is not where you just, you know, when someone exposes someone. That's just common knowledge. You know, when you call somebody out and tell Pastor, she slept with somebody last night, you need to go pray for us. We're talking about a different level of deliverance. We're talking about a whoremongering spirit or a lustful spirit or a different level of spirit.
A Jezebel.
Jezebel and adulterous and a lying. You know,
alcohol
spirit. We're not just talking about, you know, those things that you commonly know.
That's right.
But we're talking about those things that are seen, that are divinely seen and shown. You know, so some things can be taken care of by just making a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
But then some things have to go through deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
So now let me backdrop for a moment. Remember who we are. Remember who we are.
That's right.
We are a ministry of what?
Healing and restoration.
So if God shows us something, then we are supposed to bring what?
Healing
and restoration. And in order to bring healing and restoration, we have to flow in who we are. We are a ministry of what? Looking for a four-letter word.
Okay.
Ministry of love. We're a ministry of love that operates in healing and restoration. So we don't break nobody down and leave them broken.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't expose nobody and leave them wounded.
That's it.
We don't badger nobody and leave them confused or conflicted. Now, if they choose to be confused and conflicted, that's on them.
That's the choice.
But we seal the deal with love, healing, and restoration. We let them know that no matter what God and what he's doing, he's able to do even greater.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your struggle is. So don't make nobody think that you are so lifted up and so grandeur or grandiose that you've never struggled yourself.
Oh, God.
So as a ministry of restoration and healing, that means what kind of people gonna come?
Checked
those
up.
Those who need healing, those who are broken, those who are sick, those who got spirits, those who got demons. Those who got issues. So that means that some of us got to go back to the school of knowledge.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Go back to the school of knowledge. Read the book. Fast. Pray. Spend time with the Lord. You don't have to be in deliverance to show love.
Right.
Love should come naturally. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I sought. Let's talk about deliverance. As part of the deliverance, they hid. So now, you need to understand and know your position, your calling, and your anointing. How can you find that or know that? Dialogue with your leader, fasting and prayer, and spending time with the Lord. Because fasting and prayer don't mean you're spending time with the Lord. It might just mean you're skipping a meal.
One meal.
So
medication.
So now, Dean said something. She said it was scary, but I wasn't scared. You flowing in deliverance, you can't be scared. Because if you got fear, frustration, anxiety, then that's an open border. That's an open lane.
Yep.
So that. Spirit, that, because somebody mentioned it and I wrote it down. Where did I write it though? I don't see it, so I'll come back to it. Oh, they wrote it down. She had the devil right there, so I hit it in my mouth. So there are manifestations where demons will manifest.
Yes, they will.
And there are those situations where the demons will hide.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know what you're working with and what you're dealing with. So, are there any other questions? As young people, do y'all understand what we're talking about? Caitlin, the Kayla, y'all understand, y'all with us. Because being in a house that flows in deliverance, you all need knowledge also. So now, let me say this. You can have a gift of a seer.
Mm-hmm.
Or the gift of the prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
You can have vision as a young person. So I said that to say, don't think that God's just going to use us mature people.
That's right.
So don't be surprised at your gifting. And when you don't have clarity, understanding, or knowledge,
ask. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Ask.
I just wanted to say while you're right there in that bank that where God is going with abundant praise,
mm-hmm.
when the Lord said he's getting ready to take a hard right,
mm-hmm.
the children's dance is going to change. Their dance is going to become prophetic because where it is that the level that they're going to, they're not going to be able to stay where they are to minister to those that are hurting, because there are people that will not necessarily hear the word and be delivered, but through their dance will be and prophetically dancing, deliverance will come through the praise and worship. That's why it's so important when praise and worship, there's a mode of praise, but when worship really hits, you have no control. There's nothing you can do. And most of the time when worship really, really hits, that's when deliverance really is trying to take place. So we have to be very mindful that where God is taking you, that we have to really be on board. One thing I can say just for myself, I can talk about me. In my family, my mother was an alcoholic. My father was a whoremonger and a fornicator. And I had to go back 60 generations because that's what it teaches. You have to go 60 generations in and sever the cords of alcohol, drugs, whoremongering, fornicating, and all of that kind of stuff. It's an unclean thing that attaches itself to that. I had to come against that spirit in my own life, even in my children's 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 children, down to the 16th generation. What can I tell you about that? He is still fighting to try to gain ground. So the fight is never over. You still fight. Okay, you still fight him to keep the ground of your children that don't want to act like they say. Okay, those that ain't trying to do what's right, but you still have to hold to that. Because once you are in deliverance ministry, the enemy will fight you even harder to then you say, I can't do this. I won't do this because the requirement is so high. The requirement is really high. And that's why when you come in here, your mind really has to be stayed on Jesus. That is why sometimes you see me, I can use me again. When I'm in here, I'm pastor of the Kingdom Church. I'm not the pastor here. I don't move unless one of them reach out and tell me to get up for prayer. But that's not my place. I follow the direction. And that's what I mean by we have to learn how to follow direction. If they don't say so, it don't happen.
Amen.
Hello? If they don't reach out, then it won't happen. I don't care. I think that happens with them. But before I say anything to anybody, do you I get your permission?
Sometimes.
I try to be very obedient because I know what it is to be disobedient. I do not need for God to slap me. Been there, done that.
And to go to hand with what she was saying about follow lead and follow direction. If you all can think back, whenever I'm preaching and after I finish preaching, before I start flowing in the prophetic or in deliverance, I ask that leader, is it okay if I say something to that person or to flow or whatever, because you have to still respect the house that you're in, and that's still respecting order and leadership also. Let me recap a couple of things. When deliverance is going on, Sister Valerie said, you should be still. There should not be no walking. There should not be no talking. And that's the time when the enemy will make you think you've got to go to the bathroom and you can't wait.
I'm over.
Hello.
You know, so. If at all possible, now let me say it like that. If at all possible, you can hold it or you can stand still and hold it.
Mm-hmm.
There should not be no talking, no babbling, no sidebar conversations going on when deliverance is going on, even if deliverance has been going on for 30 minutes or an hour.
Mm-hmm.
What you should be doing in your seat is pray.
Exactly.
Praying for the strength of that person who's leading the deliverance, and then praying that the strongholds be broken for that person who's needing the deliverance.
Amen.
Just because the person needs deliverance don't mean they don't need love or they don't need no assistance. It don't mean that they have a scarlet letter on their face or on their heart or their chest.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to really rethink deliverance. When deliverance is being set free from a stronghold or bondage or hindrance or spirit or even some type of lifestyle or physical state. Could be family relations too.
Yeah.
That we need to be set free from. Also, yes.
I want to say also, as Christians, we are not exempt.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy comes against us even the heart,
mm-hmm.
because you know we were talking about the following the decision and the anointing on your life. If he has residence in a whole family, a line of generations, he is not. The enemy is not just going to let you leave him. You know, like a bad marriage. I have been married to this demon for a long time. If we can put it that way, to understand where I'm going. Ephesians 6:12 says, we struggle and we wrestle against flesh, not
we don't.
Flesh. But. And that's what the enemy wants us to see. He wants us to see Sister Susan and not the real enemy, which that's what we're coming. We're not coming against Susan Lee. We're coming against the enemy, the power, the prince of power, against darkness. The enemy of darkness in high place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the enemy does. He, you know, he said he hides behind people. And
once he, if he sees somebody that's in fear or he sees somebody that's weak, weakness is a sin. If it's not, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If I'm not strengthened, then I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will jump off that first move. And then once he's finished, he's going back to him. Get home.
Yes.
Where he was before.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just a vessel because you were over here and doing all that you weren't supposed to. So he's going to take precedence, but demons get angry.
Yes, they do.
They contort. They move their body in crazy ways. Demons want their property back. I have to get, but demons have possession for years and years and their family too. He's not just going to let you go keep it. So that's why you say feel, feel. You got to feel it and feel it. But don't look at the person. Because that struggle can be our struggle after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I guess something to Jay. Whenever that takes place, and Virginia pulled on some very important points, you'll be surprised at what you will see in deliverance. And I'm going to go a step further. What you even smell in deliverance. Demons are nasty. In the way that they act or make a person act.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I keep saying the two things is because we have got to understand that the person is not our focus. It is the spirit in which dwells within the person. So I want to take it a step further. Don't ever think that you are so righteous or exempt from having a spirit attack you. Okay, the only thing that keeps us from being a receptor of demonic spirits when there is deliverance is the blood of Jesus over our life. Now, you need to be able to define a spirit of oppression and a spirit of depression. You need to understand whether or not you are depressed from a spirit or oppressed from a spirit. Okay? You need to be able to be mindful of sins of omission and sins of commission. Okay? Because we all walk and operate in a world that we were not created for. I'm going to say it again because I didn't get to what you want. We all operate, live in, walk in, talk in a world that was not created for us. Okay? So therefore, we are all in a position to be attacked by a spirit, whether the sleeping spirit in the midst of your service, okay, whether or not you come in high-minded, rolling, running, and all ready to go, and you simply die someone who has a spirit of depression and oppression, okay, and all of a sudden you don't know what's going on. You need to be mindful of all those things. Another point that Sister Regina pointed out was a demonic force would come back after their property that they have possessed for 80 years. But that's how some folks don't get delivered till they're old. Okay. You see, it's not just young folks. It's not just young adults. It's not just young people, young adults like myself and the panel. You know, sometimes it's people who have been in the church all their life.
Yeah.
They need deliverance.
Yeah.
But they don't come into the reality of it until they reach the good, mature age. Okay. Now, I have a question for you. how many of you have owned something for a mighty long time and it is your possession? And somebody comes to take your possession from you. What are you going to do? You're going to fight. And if they take it, and you don't know that they took it until you get back home, you're going to find out where it's at. And when you find out, you're going to do what? Take it back home. There's no difference than the people who can possess of your body for a period of time. Once they get evicted out, guess what? They're coming back to something that they're familiar with. And we will go as far as a possession that we might have that is either lost or stolen to go to the store to buy something that looks like or similar to and remind us of what our property that we had was deemed to operate the same way.
So that's why they hold something back by themselves.
Exactly. They don't come back by themselves to take their possession. Their possession. Neither would you when you find out who's going with you. You want to pack your glove? Come on, somebody. You're going to call your friend, your best friend, that you know can go there and fight. You see what I'm saying? Because you're going back after your possession. One thing that we, another thing that we need to be mindful of, that the spirit world moves and operates parallel, meaning the same thing you do in the earth realm, that spirit is doing it in the spirit realm. So they run parallel to you. So if you're right, they're doing the wrong. You see what I'm saying? So be mindful of those things. See, I think Bishop touched on this earlier. We get to a place, it might have been one of the panelists, but we get to a place that we're so self-confident in ourselves, okay, that we think that we're high and mighty, proud, which is a spirit, of operating, that we forget, in my proud state of mind, I'm open to attack.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
I wanted to also say a thought today. Go ahead, Pastor Michael.
Well, I don't think I was going to talk about spirit. Spirit is real because I have to think. Anyway, I know spirit is real because one day I was just calling up for my business. And I had failed to see, and I can hear these hard footsteps coming down the hallway, and it was so loud. And then I could feel the spirit coming in my room and it sat beside my bed. And I couldn't move, but all I could do was just see the blood. And I just kept saying, the blood of Jesus. And it moved away. And I don't know, but I used to be telling my children all the time, stop running to everybody. They can be, they like a spirit. I don't know what it was. They like a spirit. They like a spirit in there. And I used to hear that spirit. And it was just like, it was so loud. He was coming down the hallway. And he stayed in my bedroom, still in my bed. And I felt, I felt that spirit. But I thank God that I was covered with the blood. And I wasn't scared, but I was pleased with the blood. But he didn't sleep when I woke up. Hey, she woke up.
I want to respond to something that she had said. Denise.
Oh, my God.
Do you ever remember growing up, and this is for people my age and older probably, your grandparents, have you ever been in the state of mind that you've been in your bed sleep and you know that you are supposed to be asleep, but yet your eyes are open and they're standing on your body? not sleep paralysis. You can talk to a demonic force that comes against you. Okay. And it comes, well, it normally comes at that night. And when you tell your grandparents, they tell you that it was a witch riding your back, a hank. That's the word I was looking for, a hank. And you know you're surrendered, but you're laying there and you cannot move. Okay. You can see what's going on. Those are demonic forces. Those are spirits. Let's take another step. And I think I saw Sister Calvette come in. Maybe I did.
She's there.
Oh, okay. Praise God. When you operate in the mental field of occupation, you see a lot of things that you recognize as spirit.
Most of it.
And I agree, most of it are spirits that we have given scientific names to. Schizophrenia. Bipolar simply means you got more than one personality. Okay. Those are bipolar. Thank you. Things that you got more than one personality. You take that to a church that's got a mother in there that's been in church all her life and been dealing with that. She don't know what you're talking about. She's going to get them to call that spirit of multiple personality of ours. But we're going to take medication for it. And say that we're chemically imbalanced. And you know, I bet you corrected me because everybody in here understood what I said when I said bipolar. So everybody needs to be corrected. Amen. So praise God. Everybody was shaking their head. They knew what I said. They needed the R. They needed the R. Exactly. And the reason I said it like that is for the ones that are on the telephone and the blog radio to understand that I wasn't the only one using the wrong word. Praise God. But you understand what I'm saying. So therefore, we need to understand and recognize demonic forces that come up against us and generational curses. Okay, and generational curses are just that. Generational curses. And they speak.
They talk.
Have you ever heard someone say, I'm broken, I'm busted, and I can't be trusted?
No.
Because your mama told you, your grandmother said, her said, you're just like your daddy, or you're just like your mama, and we talk about the good stuff about your mama and your daddy, but they signify these things and bring them out. Why? Because those are generational curses that have been passed down through generations.
What I want to share also is that if we're living in a time that everything is okay, you can do anything and it's all right.
Mm.
But you also have spirits that are, as we train, you'll hear the word incubus and succubus demons. These things are real. Because they create encounters for men and women. For young ladies who have had encounters, you will start experiencing these things in your sleep. Men and women will experience these things in your sleep. So it's not a joke. The enemy has an army, and what he wants to do is stop God's army from being the army that they're supposed to be. And so we have to really understand, we don't, like our bishop said, we don't want to open any more doors. We don't want to open portals. And we have to remember that we have to cover our children, because that's the generation that he's really after. That's what he's really after. And this is why, even while we're talking in school now, they're labeling everything as a sickness or a mental disease or a mental disorder, when it's really spirit. They don't know what they're dealing with, so they're putting a mental name to it. So we know exactly what we're dealing with. Amen.
I was just going to say, we have several callers on the line tonight, and if any of the callers have a question or a comment, you can press 1, and we can bring you on to address your question or comment, because I believe that we'll be closing shortly. Amen. So if you have a question or a comment and you're on the line, you would press 1, we can bring you live and address your question. Amen. We have 1.
This is Pastor, this is Pastor Sheila. Hello.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor Sheila.
How are
you? Go ahead, Pastor Sheila. Good.
My question is there a book that the young people could get to read to help them better understand? I don't know whether you covered that.
Is there a book?
Is there a book or something for young people that they could read to help them understand deliverance and the prophetic?
There are several books that have been published, but I will be very careful in recommending any of them to
young
people to read without proper training, proper understanding of deliverance, because even in reading the book could open up a portal and invite something in that you're not familiar with and create some other problems. So I would even suggest that towards an adult, because there's some powerful books out there.
Mm-hmm. I would like to say one thing. Sometimes you may need deliverance and not know you need deliverance. Because there can be a spirit hovering over you that has not manifested. And a person walking in the true anointing and calling of God can see something, whether it's manifested or not. But they can see it over you, and they can call it out, and they can rebuke it so that it does not manifest. And so now, it's up to you whether or not to receive or not to receive. And prayerfully, that person who is rebuking or calling out can explain to you that whether it's manifested or not, it's there. So now, that's where your resistance come in most times. Folks don't know that there's a cloud over them. And when you don't realize the cloud is over you, now some of you know it's a cloud. Well, not over. Some people know it's a cloud and don't want to acknowledge. But there can be a cloud and it has not manifested because it's just waiting for the right moment and the right hour. So now that leads us into the segue of how do you deal with someone who's resistant? We'll take a 10-minute discussion on that tonight. We won't be able to finish that tonight. So, panel, how do you deal with someone who don't want to acknowledge or don't want to receive the word that's coming forth, or don't want to
I'll share that generally when that happens, you try to give them grace, give them a time period where, because we've talked about it, if there's something that's been there with them for a period of time, it's not going to easily release. But prayer, and if you're able to tap into beyond that spirit to get to the soul of the person, you could sometimes get some leverage so that you can start doing the work. But after you've spent some time and as you've been trained, you're able to look at that person. You can look at their eyes. You can look at their body movement. You can see them dropping their head. Don't wear yourself out. Don't. And don't be offended because nothing happened for them. It wasn't you. That's with any of us. If we have a possession, it's up to us whether you say, Crystal, I like that bag. That would look cute with Crystal. And you'd be like, oh, this is mine. I'm keeping it. I can't make her give it to me. And so we can't make anybody want deliverance. Because some folks are comfortable with their stuff. They're just comfortable with it. You hear people talk about after they've been delivered, about how they thought they wouldn't be able to function delivered because it had been a part of them for so long. It was second nature. So don't fight. Don't fight them. Don't get offended when you're not seeing anything happen because that was their choice. And I think sometimes working deliverance, people get frustrated. It's like, I'm a command this thing in the name of, I'm a plead about you, and you be wore out. And that demon get up and walk on out and look back at you and say, I got another one. I got another one. And they be looking at you laughing, and then you feel some kind of way because it didn't happen. Don't. As you go through training and your discernment sharpens and your eyes sharpens and your ears sharpens to these things, you'll be able to recognize them very easy. And you can look at them and you can start speaking. And when their eyes batting while you talking and your eyes ain't batting, you'll be like, you know what? All right, next. Because they already indicating to you, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to stand here and smile in your face, but I ain't moving. Next. And don't be mad. Just next. And keep moving.
Amen. That's important. It took me years to understand that in my young age. Got all of me to listen.
It's available.
Because Pastor and I, with battling, fight, demons until we were
wore out.
Okay, sweating, whipped, worn out. We could drive from outside to outside. You know, and it's not work.
No.
The only thing that comes out of that is you dead tired.
Yep.
And like Pastor Valerie said, that gets up, go home, laugh at you, they sleep good, live home, you know.
War out.
You got to go to work at 12 o'clock, and you don't get home till 11 o'clock. You work an hour from where you live at. And then you got to still have 8 hours before, and you'll physically drink. It's not worth it. And don't take 27 years, 25 years to find out or to figure out that it's not worth it. Either they want to or they don't. And what made me understand, because I'm a finicky eater, is I eat what has been prepared.
I don't eat.
What's prepared. And it's the same thing. The Bible tells us that there's a table spread before us. And either we can eat of that table, drink of that water, or not eat of that table and drink of that water. Same thing with Christ. He's before us. Either we accept him
or we don't.
And that's the way the kingdom operates.
Amen.
Okay? So don't beat up on yourself. Trust me. If they got one, they're going to visit you again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So don't worry about that one. That one didn't get away. He just haven't matched his match yet. Because their level and their ranking, which we won't even get into tonight, in the kingdom of God as well as the kingdom of Satan.
Amen.
Okay? A first level prophet did not attack Jesus Christ. Okay? So therefore, Jesus Christ doesn't waste his time with a prophet. That's why he has us.
Amen.
The only other thing that I want to add about the deliver meeting resistance. One thing that I've learned to do to save myself some energy and time, I ask the person, do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be saved? I will ask them, are you ready? And so I've just learned. I don't know where I learned that from, just over the years somewhere, but it worked. And I have people in me work away, and I say, all right, God bless you.
Amen.
I'm ready for you, and let them go back to their seat or what have you, and we keep moving.
Amen.
But, you know, there's choices that we have to make. We are still creatures of choice. God has given us that ability and we must respect it.
Amen. Because he's given opportunity for all of us. That was a good example about the table being spread and you choose to eat or not to eat. So we have to respect it, certainly. Yes, sir. You need a mic.
You need a mic. Question. When I'm at a barbershop, you know, I have a lot of customers that what I do for my customers, you know, I consider my barbershop. So sometimes people come to the barbershop, get a haircut, you're supposed to think that I'm a listener. So sometimes people actually pray for them. Some people I know that in church. But for those that's not in church, do I have to question why you say before I pray for them?
Can I address that? That's not what Pastor Singer was saying, but I want to. Everything I say is got a fuck. But I want to say this. If you are prepared spiritually for what you're going to pray for, then pray for it. If you're not prepared spiritually for what you say out of your mouth and it manifests, then I suggest you not pray for it. Because your barber's job would then be a wreck.
Oh.
Physically and spiritually, even though the atmosphere is set. Okay. So that's wisdom. We need to be mindful of where we are, who's with us, to be praying for somebody to be delivered and set free from something. You deal with alcoholics, you might deal with drug addicts, you might get, and you don't know how long that tail is on that spirit and how many organs physically in their body that has been wrapped around. And when you start messing with it, how much damage is it going to cause for that person? Because the spirit attaches itself, okay, and with blood pressure, diabetes, kidney problems and whatever. Those things attach itself to us. And if we start calling them out and you're the only one up in there, then you got problems on your hands. So I would say
no.
Because you need to know that whatever you release or whatever you open up, you're going to have to deal with.
Set up a prayer request box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, for those who come in and they may want prayer, tell them. Put it in the prayer request. I'll take it. Our intercessors will be praying for you. And then that way you release yourself and you keep from having your atmosphere contaminated with any type of relief.
Okay. And basically what we're saying is that we're not trying to say ooh or any kind of dark thing. This thing is real. And what the enemy has done is has taken our focus off of what's really going on in the spirit realm. It's really turned our focus off of there is warfare. We've been ignoring the warfare and gone forward, and now it's coming back to hit us in the face. And it's going to come to us more and more than it has ever done before. As far as training, I would say when Bishop says we're having warfare training, everybody, you need to be open to the call to the classes. Don't make any exceptions. Don't make any excuses to not be in class, because the enemy is going to make you sick. He's going to give you a headache. He's going to make you work late to try to keep you out of knowing. You don't have to be so much a part of the team as to know. Because when you have wisdom, you have knowledge, and knowledge is powerful. Okay, and the enemy does not want us to have knowledge of who he really, really is. He would rather that we operate in not knowing, thinking that we know, and we do stuff not knowing, and then he can come after us. But the most powerful thing is to get the training. Training, in this instance,
is very, very important. Very important. You don't want to go off somewhere, like you said, they come. But if you, like you said, opening up doors and stuff happens, take those prayer requests, like Pastor Sheena said. Take those requests because you need to be covered while you're doing that. Nobody that works in deliverance ministry works alone. We have to be covered. But you never work alone. Even with the policemen, they don't go alone. They got a backup. Okay? Amen.
I just like to add, if you feel compelled to pray, you can write your, you can write, as God give you wisdom, and you can write out a general prayer that goes along the line, Father, I thank you right now, and I pray for my brother, my sister, that their eyes be open and their heart be turned towards you. And God, whatever they stand in need of, I pray that you meet them where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's simple as it. You know, because if they're in a mindset where they're just in a funk or they're just, you know, devastated and they need prayer, you can pray something that simple that, Lord, take this demon from them, God, you know, heal their body and take that, this, that, and other. Because like they say, if you start calling that out, it got to go somewhere. So you don't want that to turn back and to take residence in your shop and upon you. But formulate your general prayer. Something basic, you know, that's not opening no doors or portals, but speaking to their being that they are looking to God for deliverance and help. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any comments? Any questions? Anything before we end part one? Yeah, it's gonna be a part two because we didn't get the prophetic at all. And the do's and the don'ts of the prophetic and how to flow it. Any questions? Sister Deanne, you've been quiet over there. Anything?
I'm right.
You right and taking note? Amen. Kevin? Ms. Delmore?
Not tonight. We thank you all for joining us for this conversation on tonight. We pray that what you've heard has been insightful and empowering for each of you. This is part one, and Bishop said that there will be a part two, so we will keep you all posted as to when that will take place. As always, we pray each day that you are empowered. You do something to empower yourself, and you will take the responsibility to empower someone else. Please mark your calendars for January 14th, Saturday, January 14th, for our event, I Know Who I Am, who will be held at Abundant Praise Christian Fellowship, 3630 Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 804-658-3159. We love you all, and God bless.